I'm Emily Lent, and I believe with my whole heart and soul that our homes are places where we can seek and love the truth, celebrate beauty, and learn good things every single day. That's why I'm educating my kids at home, and I know you can do it too. Welcome to Heart and Soul Homeschool.
Well, I am really pleased to have with me today the president of the Herzog Foundation, Daryl Jones. Daryl, welcome to Heart and Soul Homeschool.
I am thrilled to be here. I love what you're doing and thrilled to be a part of it.
Well, I'm thrilled to be a part of the Herzog family here. It's an honor and a privilege and really excited.
There's a lot going on at the foundation, that's for sure.
So much. It's hard to keep track of. There's so much going on.
I tell new people coming in, keep your tray table in the upright and locked position.
Yep, be ready.
Because we move fast. For sure.
Well, hey, before we jump into our topic today, would you just tell us a little bit about your background and then what you do here at Herzog Foundation now?
Sure. I pastored for 35 years. I was a student minister for 11 years and then 20 plus years after that. I was the senior pastor. But it was the exact same congregation. So when I was invited by the board to come and be a part of what they were doing at the foundation as it was just starting out, it was really a difficult decision because there wasn't an incident, mm-hmm. you know, where we had to leave the church. And so really prayed and fasted and cried. And my wife and I talked a lot and really felt like with what the mission of the foundation was, it was really about enhancing student discipleship around the country mm-hmm. for such a time as this.
Yeah, because for those who may not know, do you want to just briefly sure. do a quick rundown of the mission of the Herzog Foundation?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. So the whole goal of the foundation as established by Mr. Herzog in his written directives for the foundation is to advance K-12 Christ-centered education across the country. So we're really helping strengthen Christian schools, starting more Christian schools, but we're also very, very interested in helping strengthen homeschool groups. Mm-hmm. And how can we help bring support to homeschool families so that you're really not an island unto yourself? And how can we help strengthen and launch more homeschool groups? So it really is across the gamut, K-12, Christ-centered education. How can we help drive families to understand that public education has changed mm-hmm. from when they were there, and all of the options that are available via Christ-centered education.
Yeah, so
the Herzog Foundation's involved in it.
Yeah, so many options. And what I think is neat is that you're not promoting one over the other.
Right.
And so we're not saying, you know, private Christian education is better than homeschooling.
That's
homeschooling
exactly right.
isn't better. We're all under that umbrella
right.
of doing the best for our kids, right? And training
Absolutely.
Them up to love the Lord and follow Him.
That's
which I
right.
think is really, we have so much in common. I think sometimes we tend to divide out into our little groups, but I love the mission of the foundation and that it brings us all together.
I agree with that 100%. I mean, it's every family determining what is in the best interest of discipling our children with rigorous academics in an environment that embraces and encourages their faith in Christ. And that, at the end of the day, we're all about that. And certainly the statistics would say that 2-to-1 in this mass exodus from public education, 2-to-1 families are gravitating to homeschool. Mm-hmm. So I really love what you're doing with a home education podcast on a weekly basis, pouring into homeschool families and letting them know resources, but really just the encouragement you're bringing, Emily.
Yeah, well, I hope so. Well, I'm excited to be doing it. So I'm going to lean heavily on the pastor part
okay.
of your experience
listen.
Today.
Let's have some fun.
Yeah, I'm excited about this. So there's kind of an interesting phenomenon going on in our churches across our culture, where after COVID-19, lots of churches shut down, things just weren't the same. A lot right. was exposed just everywhere. And
sure.
also in the church didn't escape a lot of that scrutiny and just kind of the shakeup that happened.
Mm-hmm.
And so across the board, people have not returned to church in the numbers that they were attending
right.
before, which is a really sad thing. I think, you know, you probably know more about this than I do, but there are lots of reasons. You know, I think
sure.
online church has become a phenomenon.
Mm-hmm.
There are so many podcasts and other resources where people mm-hmm. feel like maybe the teaching that they get is more solid.
Right.
They're listening online. People are busy. They're choosing to do family things or camp or, you
right.
know, you name it. And there's just, it's people are not returning to church.
Right. It's true.
So over those 35 years that you were a pastor, mm-hmm. did you notice shifts like that happen? Or is this kind of new
I mean,
thing?
You would, you know, yes and no. I mean, you know, there was a day when if a family was upset with you because you painted the wall tan and they were pretty sure that the Lord wanted it to be gray or some hue of gray, they would leave the church.
Yeah.
In, you know, the last dozen years, when they leave, they leave, but they never leave because their social media presence continues to critique from afar that that is a hideous, satanic color tan when the Lord would have it be gray. You know what I mean? So social media.
So there have always been things.
Oh my, yeah, right, exactly. But it used to be, you know, there would be an incident or an issue, and then there wouldn't be an issue. And now, you know, with social media, whether you're talking Christians or certainly in the non-Christian world, people have just become emboldened and will say things that they would never say to your face. And oftentimes they say it for the purpose of influencing.
Yeah, it's interesting times that we live in, right?
It really is, yeah. So, I mean, you know, I think there's always been seasons where, you know, people come and people go. But I think at the end of the day, you know, we would do a membership class every year where several times a year where a membership class, we're welcoming new families to the congregation.
Sure.
And often I would say, you know, I'm not naive to the fact that oftentimes people are hurt in churches. And what I really wanted to encourage them was that even though you have been hurt through the body of Christ, you are here this morning and you're going to give this one more try here.
Yeah.
And you know, if I get a cut on my finger, what is not going to make it better is to cut my finger off.
True.
Right? The cut in the provision of God, the body is able to heal the body. You don't remove it from the body and it heals. Right? It was made to heal within the body. And I think, you know, I would say to anyone who has left church because they have been hurt by the body, I would say you are not alone. I could tell you my own story of being hurt. You know, before we were a part of the church that, you know, we were a part of the church plant, I can tell you stories of how we were very seriously hurt. But praise the Lord, by stepping into a new body of local believers through the course of time, I mean, it doesn't even hurt anymore. It's healed. And not only healed, but really, really saw God begin to use that. And good heavens, I retired after 35 years of pastoral ministry, you know. So the body is able to heal the body, but you've got to stay plugged into a local body for that healing to take place.
And I'm glad that you brought that up because I think in some cases, so I guess the overall, this is a homeschool show, as
sure,
we just talked about.
Yeah.
And so the connection here is that I am noticing within our homeschool community here locally, and then also friends who are homeschoolers across the nation are hearing the same things, that more and more homeschool families are Christian homeschoolers. And so they're doing the Bible studies at home. They're discipling their kids at home, but they are choosing not to be a part of the local body of Christ and be plugged into a church. And so we're hearing it often enough that while I don't have a study, it seems like it's a thing.
Yeah.
And so I'm glad that you brought up the church hurt because I do think that in some cases that is a real situation. I think for other families, it's as simple as they like to camp on the weekend or, you know, they just feel like they just want to go fishing or, you know, whatever it is. I think the reasons are as varied as the families, but it seems to be becoming a phenomenon. And at the same time, you know, homeschoolers love to talk about socialization, or maybe I should say homeschoolers don't love to talk about socialization.
Other people like to talk about socialization with homeschool.
Yeah. And so I've been thinking about how for our family, one of our major sources of socialization is our local church.
Right.
It's great. And so as a pastor, you know, make that case for why it's important that these families be in church and not just listening to a podcast as they drive to the campground.
Oh, I love it.
You know, that physical presence of being with other believers.
Oh, Emily, you've opened a can of worms. I have a number of thoughts on that topic. Number one, I think, you know, the church is the body of Christ. Christ loves the church. Husbands are encouraged to love their wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself for her, right? So my wife and I she's my best friend. She is absolutely my best friend. We have been married for over 40 years. If you don't like my wife, and you don't want to ever hang out with my wife, you're a great person, but it's going to affect our relationship because I love her and you can't stand her. And where I go, I want her to be there. And so I think there's, I think just initially the idea, just think of the logical statement, I love Jesus, I just don't like his bride.
Yeah.
Okay, well, let's think about that for just a second. And how do we get around that? And I think to say, well, I'm just not going to plug in or be a part of a local congregation is unfortunate for the sake of Christ, for the sake of the congregation, and I would say for the sake of the family. So number one, you know, I think for the sake of your relationship with Christ, to love who he loves, you know, people used to say in pastoral ministry, it must be wonderful working for the Lord. And I would say, oh my gosh, working for the Lord is fantastic. But the people he loves will absolutely drive you nuts, you know, but tongue in cheek, because, you know, while it's true, we're all different and we have different ways of viewing things. The reality is, this is plan A for global evangelism. And how do Christians be a part of what's going on globally and domestically and locally, separate from the organized body of Christ on every street corner in America? Doesn't it make more sense that we would utilize our efforts and our passions, our talents, and our treasures to help the body of Christ reach the world, which is the mission for all of us, as opposed to, honestly, so I don't get along with anybody, so I'm not going to plug into a local body. I just think that's unfortunate. I think it's unfortunate for the body. You know, when Paul talks about, you know, every body is made up of many members, It is all of the different unique giftings and talents. I'm so impressed with your resume and how the Lord has uniquely wired you and gifted you in ways that are completely different than the way I'm wired and that I'm gifted. But together, and couple that with the local congregation that God brings together, oh my gosh, there's no end to what that group of people, inspired and empowered by the Holy Spirit, can do. But when I hold myself back or I refuse to plug in, the body of Christ loses what God intended by gifting me the way that he did. So I just think the idea of really looking at the local congregation and how do I be plugged in? And, you know, I'll be the first one to say, you know, churches go through different seasons. They go through different phases. For some strange reason, the church in the West is having an identity crisis and trying to figure out what it believes. And unfortunately, there are churches who are doing things that are completely separate from a biblical foundation. I couldn't be a part of that kind of a local congregation.
Yeah, the discernment. You and I, right before we jumped into this conversation and hit record, we were kind of talking about that these times that we live in require so much discernment.
Absolutely.
And being steeped in God's word and understanding it. And my husband and I are finding just that we are so thankful to be a part of a Bible-believing church where our pastor preaches so faithfully from the whole of Scripture, not just cherry picking the fun parts or the easy parts, but through the whole of Scripture, and that we're thankful for his guidance. And then underneath that, for the body of Christ that keeps us on track. So it's not discerning these tough things on our own. We're kind of, there are guardrails there for us to work within, which is such a comfort as parents of young children.
Yeah, absolutely true. Absolutely true. And I think, you know, if a congregation is, I mean, you know, when we were looking for a church 3 years ago, right, we left the community we were a part of, moved into a brand new community, didn't know anyone in Smithville, Missouri. I didn't know, you know, there were no other employees. What is the job? What is the Herzog Foundation? It was a couple of pieces of paper, and we were going to build it from the ground up. We had to find a whole new support group for us. You know, I will say as a retired pastor, I need people in my life who help, who walk through life with me, right? Who they want, they're going with their life where I want to go with my life. We always felt like we needed that with our daughters. We have three daughters. They're all now grown and married wonderful godly men and producing brilliant and intelligent offspring, Emily. It's wonderful. Thank
the
Lord.
Who I'm sure will go to a Christian school or be homeschooled.
Absolutely right. But I will tell you what one of our greatest blessings is that all three of our daughters and their families are engaged in their local congregations. Mm-hmm. And none of them live in our state, mm-hmm. right? They're all over the country, but they grew up in a Christian home, in a church home, in a pastoral home, and they still love Jesus, and they still love the church, yeah. and we praise the Lord for that.
Yeah, which is amazing. And you mentioned your grandkids, which every grandparent loves to talk about.
Oh,
them.
My
but
gosh.
I heard someone the other day, and I can't recall off the top of my head who it was, but she was talking about how we, those of us who have young kids right now, are raising our grandchildren's parents.
Ooh,
which
that is
you know,
well
which is
said.
An obvious statement,
yeah.
but when she said that, I was like, wow. And so
yeah.
because I was thinking about this conversation that you and I were going to mm-hmm. have, I was thinking, man, I really want my kids to take my grandkids
Amen.
To church.
Right.
I want my grandkids to be raised
right.
in the body of
right.
Christ. And so in order to give us the best shot at that down
right.
the road,
Absolutely.
I need to be raising my kids
yeah.
in the body of Christ and giving them the example that we don't, you know, we're not only Christians, but we are
right.
bigger of or part of a bigger,
right.
bigger community. Of
it's Christians. It's really true, and I think there's a lot of, and I think churches unfortunately have become very transactional. Mm-hmm. We do this so that you'll do this. We want the biggest band. We want the biggest youth group. We want the biggest children's ministry. Mm-hmm. Very marketing. And losing sight of, it doesn't matter how large the congregation is or what ministries they even have. Mm-hmm. Are they effective with the ministries that God has birthed there?
Mm-hmm.
And I think whatever individual Christians can do to help strengthen the local church honors Christ and honors the Lord. And I think, you know, I would say one reason why families students... Christian students need to be engaged in the local church is very simply, we are called to be salt and light mm-hmm. in the world. Now, let me preface that by saying, I believe in 2024 to say my kids are going to be salt and light in the public school, I think that's a mistake. Mm-hmm. I think that analogy breaks down really quick when you're talking about sending second graders, you know, to fight the Board of Education.
Yeah, on the front lines of the battle.
Right, I think that, yeah, that is not a fair battle for salt and light. But I do think that families, parents need to be thinking about, so how is my second grader salt and light?
Mm-hmm.
Or is that just something that happens when they're 18 or when they're 21? No, we are discipling them
right.
to be salt and light. And while I would agree, the public school, for my liking, is not the best environment. I do think that the local church coming alongside children's ministries that are really trying to reach the broader community is very important for our children to see themselves as ministers, as disciples, as followers of Jesus who are interested in seeing other people come to Christ. That's not the kind of thing that happens after graduation. We as parents are raising our children to love the world in the sense of reaching every soul for Christ.
Yeah, and it's not a process. You don't just
right.
flip the light switch and they're ready
yeah.
to go. And that's one thing that we love so much about being a part of our church. I can't say enough
yeah,
good about
I
our
love
church.
It.
We love
it's
it.
Great.
But it's a diverse group of people generationally. And so we have
right.
the older, you know, it's not
yeah.
one of those churches where you walk in and everybody looks like you.
Mm-hmm.
And we particularly like that for the
mm-hmm.
reason that you just said is that it allows our kids to be in a group of people where, you know, there are different economic situations,
right.
there are different professional situations,
right.
and all of us with the same goal under the umbrella of serving Christ together, where we come alongside and it lets our
right.
kids see it being lived out in
right.
so many different ways. It's not just the way Dad and I do it.
No, right.
It's the way mm-hmm. our friends and family and those relationships that you build that you wouldn't get anywhere else. You know, I love to think there's an older couple at our church, and this is kind of a funny homeschool mom thing because I never would have imagined myself, but my mother-in-law, every fall, she gets us little monarch caterpillars. And so we raised them, and it's just such a fun experience. Yeah. But this year I was running low on milkweed, which is the only thing they will they will eat. So I had a friend at church, she's an older woman, but I knew she raised butterflies, and I called her and I said, "Deb, you got any milkweed?" You know? And I she ended up inviting us over to their beautiful home. They've got several acres. They have an apple orchard. She showed the kid, you know, we picked apples. We looked at caterpillars, and it's grown into this beautiful friendship that we never would have had outside of our church. And that has enriched my life, my kids' lives, and it's this couple's life. It's and that's how it's supposed to work, right?
You know, right. Historically, the church has been that cross-generational, called-out group of people who worship the Lord together, who are empowered through the Word and the Spirit, through the gathering together, and then are sent out into the world, you know, through the course of the week. And it's a wonderful, it's a beautiful cycle that, you know, the Scripture teaches us how it's supposed to work. But I think for we as believers to find that local church, that this is home for us. We found it. And I would say until you found it, you've not found it, but don't stop looking.
Right. So let's talk about that then, because, you know, hopefully there are some families who are thinking like, oh, you know, it's been 6 weeks since we've gone or a year or whatever it's been. Or maybe hopefully we're just encouraging people who are involved and who need to encourage their friends along. And I think looking for a church is one of the hardest things in life. It really is. It's emotional. It's you're putting yourself out there. Right. You know, it kind of feels like a little bit of a risk. So what advice as a pastor could you give to families who are starting this process and know that on Sunday that they need to go? What should they be looking for?
Right. I think you look at the whole, as the parents specifically, you care for your children and for the family in every capacity, financially, nutrition-wise. You're caring for what they need even when they don't know what they need. I think realistically as parents, you look at where are our children at? They need friends who are going to encourage them in their faith. They need people who they can encourage, you know, to walk in the faith as well. Who are they? Who are we encouraging our children to walk through life with? Mm-hmm. And let's find a church that provides that kind of an environment. Mm-hmm. I think as long as you find a children's minister or a student minister who longs for the input of families, I mean, my goodness, you know, the church we were a part of, and you know, pardon me that's the context I best know. Sure. We really were looking for promoting leaders from within. I mean, student leaders within the student groups to where they were the ones saying, hey, this would be a great outreach event. Why don't we do that? And then when I was the student pastor, it was a matter of, that's a fantastic idea. Let's pull that together. Let's make that work. But those ideas were not coming from, you know, the older guy. Mm-hmm. They were coming from the younger students that we were really hoping to reach their friends for Christ. And so I think to have kids there is important. But this time around, right, so we left our community, my wife and I left our community, which was very difficult after, you know, being in that community for 35 years and pastoring in the same congregation. But I told my wife, if we love us, we will stay in the church. Mm-hmm. But if we love the congregation, if we love the church, we really need to put on a white hat, get on a white horse, tip the crowd, and ride off into the sunset.
So they can move on, right? So it's they tough can, for a pastor to stay around.
If I love us, we'll stay around and still have the support. But if we love the body of Christ, the new person needs to have the opportunity to be the pastor, So, you know, so we did that. And so for us this time around, finding a church was a, I will tell you, a much simpler process. I didn't really, now hear me. I didn't really care how good the student program was.
Right. You're I don't past have any that kids home. In life, right?
I didn't care how good the nursery was. Mm-hmm. What I cared about, does this guy preach from the book? Does he preach the book? And do I know any of the songs? Yeah. And really for us, that kind of became a big deal for us that we have plugged into a congregation that honestly, we've been there for 2.5 years now. We took about 6 months to find a place and it is home. I got a text from my pastor this morning saying, hey, I just want you to know I've been praying for you today. And I mean, and I came at 10:30 this morning and I'm like,
that's so nice.
Hey, thank you.
Yeah.
Yeah. That I have a pastor who, you know, is praying for me and in our mission to catalyze and advance K-12 education. So I think finding a church, you look at what are the needs. Mm-hmm. You know, what does your family need? Just like you do in any other category of life, what do our children need? We clothe them, we feed them, because that's what we do as parents. We care mm-hmm. for them. And I think the same thing spiritually. Yeah. They need an environment where they can grow in the Lord, not based on my coattails, mm-hmm. but where they become. I love that in the scripture we read that he is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Mm-hmm. You have three generations mm-hmm. that he was their God. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I think that really becomes a model that he's not simply my dad's God. Mm-hmm. He's my dad's God, and he's my God.
Right.
And he's my children's God.
Yeah, I mean, there's something about that. Thing. It is a That's group exactly thing, but right. individual faith yeah. is so important. And I also love what you said about, you know, is the pastor preaching from the right. book? And our pastor all the time is saying, we are people of the book.
Amen.
And so the word of God is right. more important than right. than the children's program, than right. the youth program. You know, that overarching faithfulness to the word
right.
is kind of sadly uncommon
it is.
Right
it's
now.
True.
And so I think if I had an encouragement, right. I'm not a pastor, but no, as a mom
right.
and as a family who's gone through this recently, like looking for that church where the
right.
word of God is revered
right.
and the whole of it is
right.
taught and just people are deep into that. I Amen. Think those other things kind of tend to fall
right.
in place. Do you agree?
Yeah, absolutely.
A little bit that the heart behind that.
When we use the playbook mm-hmm. that the Holy Spirit inspired mm-hmm. and that God gave to us as the foundation for how we live and for how we operate, certainly as families, as individuals, but as churches, mm-hmm. it's good. And it's right. It's uncomfortable,
sure.
right? It says if I have a problem with you, I'm supposed to go to you.
Right.
Right. If you have a problem with me, you're not supposed to go to Matt
right.
or Noah. You're supposed to come to Ms. K. So it lines out the process whereby healing can happen, which frankly goes against a lot of social norms today.
Yeah, it does.
People looking for shortcuts around. But what does the scripture say?
Yeah.
And when you have a leadership team and a congregation that know this is the playbook where we operate. Good things happen.
Yeah.
It may be uncomfortable, but good things happen.
Yeah, well, and I think part of that uncomfortable nature of this is that we live in a culture that's so driven by consumerism.
That's
and
true.
So I think when we look at church that way,
right.
you know, sometimes we go into it and we think, you know, what do you have for me
right.
today? You know, what program can you offer so that I can, you know, sit down with my cup of coffee
that's
and
right.
relax for an hour? You know, what can I get here?
Yeah.
And I would encourage people also just to look, you know, like, what are the needs in this mm-hmm. body of Christ? And do those fit
right.
with our gifts and talents as a family? Can we offer something to this church that maybe they've been praying for?
Right.
You know, and so I think that's another reason why, you know, families sort of withholding themselves from becoming involved in local church. You
right.
said this earlier, but we are depriving, right,
right.
people of us
it's
as
true.
Well and the joy of being around our
it's
children
true.
And our families. And sometimes, like, also, I think, you know, as younger families, we'll look for a church that is all younger families when we find there's so much richness
Amen.
In those older generations and walking alongside them too. So I think maybe if I had an encouragement as
right.
just a mom, you know, maybe think outside the box a little bit and be willing to look at something that may seem uncomfortable,
right.
but that may really provide that rich
Absolutely.
Community that you're looking for. And if we're looking, you know, if we bring it back to the homeschool thing, if we're looking for these socialization opportunities, serving in the church
right.
is a wonderful way
Absolutely.
To socialize your kids.
Well, and it's through serving that we grow in the Lord.
Yeah.
You know, I mean,
and
it's
people just in general,
right.
Too, right?
It's through exercise. You know, I've said before, if I want to be healthy physically, I know all the right things. I don't do all the right things, but I know all the right things. And I know that diet, what I'm eating, is important to my health. Mm-hmm. And whether I exercise is important to my health. And if I want to operate at the optimal level, mm-hmm. I need to eat the right kind of things and I need to do the right kind of things.
Mm-hmm.
It's the same spiritually.
Yeah.
If you're not feasting and feeding on the Word of God, one of my favorite preachers says, our McSermons are creating McChristians. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
We need to feed on the Word of God and not all cake and donuts and pie, but the Word of God. And when you're eating the right stuff, then you have need to exercise. So I would suggest that no podcast, no sermon, no preaching is capable in and of itself of giving me opportunity to process it and to utilize it and do something with it. And that's where I think the local congregation provides those kinds of needs, right? So if I listen to my favorite radio preacher or my favorite TV preacher, that's fantastic. But I promise you, when I go to the hospital and I need prayer, that personality is not coming to pray right. for me. It's the local congregation that is to lay hands on the sick and to anoint with oil mm-hmm. and to pray for the recovery of sick. To, you know, when the whole food chain thing, mm-hmm. is that what do they call it when a mom has a baby? It's not the food chain. That's a scientific term. But the whole idea of families are going to bring a meal.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah, you're talking about like a meal train.
A meal train is
a different
great word.
Kind of food chain.
Right,
yeah,
I'm just thinking
kind of
food chain. Yeah,
I was
meal
thinking,
train.
Where is he going?
Right,
with this?
That's
yes,
a great
the
question.
Meal train.
Right, the meal train is a wonderful idea that happens within the body of Christ.
Yes.
You know, and it doesn't matter where you are in the age scale, it's a matter of the body of Christ caring and helping bring healing to the body of Christ. Yeah. And sometimes we're in need of that, but realistically, we are always in need of exercising our gifts and our abilities.
Yeah.
I'm a part separately of just as a hobby of an organization that works with the honor flights where they take mm-hmm. veterans to Washington, D.C., to older veterans mm-hmm. to see the monuments. And they always link this senior citizen with a senior in high school or a homeschool senior homeschool group person, and the student spends the day on the flight going to Washington with this one senior, mm-hmm. and they see the experiences together. But I guarantee you that teenager is educated from that one day with this person mm-hmm. who liberty means something different than it does for a 17-year-old
sure.
Who's put their neck on the line mm-hmm. and put their life on the line and lost friends and loved ones. That one day, that cross-pollination is powerful. And then to see them come back to our town, to our airport, mm-hmm. and when the day is over, they embrace like their grandfather, grandchild,
mm-hmm.
you know, grandparent to grandchild, and they cry as they say goodbye. Mm-hmm. And it's only been a day. The body of Christ was made to be this,
yeah.
where we care for one another, where we rejoice with those who rejoice, and we weep with those who weep. And it's hard to experience all that God envisioned for all of us to experience if I pull myself out and I refuse to be a part, for whatever reason, whatever valid reason.
Right.
I think we continue to find that place where our family can grow in the Lord.
Yeah, I think that's a really, really great way to just kind of tie a bow around our whole conversation. Do you have any final words that you want to say to those homeschool families out there?
I will just say what I have said publicly, and that is home education is such a strong education process for students today. There's a reason. There are a number of reasons why families 2-to-1 are gravitating to home education. But what I love about homeschooling and home education is the fact that we may have 3 kids in our home, 3 daughters, but this one learns differently than this one and differently than this one. And home education is made to teach this one the way they learn and this one the way they learn. And no education system is ever going to be able to compete with what home education does. If you want the very best for this child right here, mm-hmm. hands down, 100%, home education is going to do a better job than any other system. And so, you know, my hat is off to you and to your audience and anything that we as a foundation can do to help you in that journey, in that important endeavor. That's what we're here for.
Yeah, well, I appreciate that as a homeschool mom myself. That means a lot to me, and I'm sure it does to everyone listening. So you've encouraged me today. You've challenged me, and I hope for all of you who are listening out there that you're encouraged and challenged as well. So thank you, Daryl, for being with us, and everyone else, I hope you'll join me next time for another episode of Heart and Soul Homeschool.
Heart and Soul Homeschool is a podcast presentation of the Herzog Foundation. The views and opinions expressed on the show are those of the host and guests and not necessarily the views of the Herzog Foundation. Be sure to like and subscribe to the show so you never miss an episode of Heart and Soul Homeschool.